Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to Tuesday's podcast. The Giants bench Eli, and I compare aging quarterbacks in the NFL to old food in your fridge. Plus, Chris Sims and Bears kicker Eddie Pinheiro joins the show. Let's go. Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show. Fox Sports Radio. Coming to you from Los Angeles, California. The Doug Gottlieb Show is brought to you by Farmers at Farmers. We've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay at the game. Put their experience into play at farmers.com.
We are farmers. Bum, ba, da, bum, 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 bum.
Hey, welcome in. Hope you had a great night watching the Jets and their third string quarterback hang around with the Cleveland Browns. I guess I'm supposed to sit here and tell you that I was amazed. But I knew Odell Beckham Jr. could play, didn't you? It was all the other stuff. And we'll get into this a little bit later. Chris Sims is going to join us in like 15 minutes. Former NFL quarterback, pro football talk, football night in America. And we're going to get into this where I was kind of underwhelmed by Baker Mayfield. Anybody else? I'm not saying that he stinks, but he wasn't great against a depleted Jets team. One that had almost no offense and gave him ample opportunities to make plays. A little bit confused early. We'll get into that in a little bit. The story of the day is Eli Manning has been benched. This statement from Pat Shurmur, head coach of the New York Giants. Eli and I spoke this morning. I told him we're making a change and going with Daniel Jones, as the starter. Eli was obviously disappointed, as you would expect, but he said he would be what he always has been, a good teammate, and continue to prepare to help this team win games. Daniel understands the challenge at hand, and he'll be ready to play Sunday. And so I was thinking about what we've seen here, a succession of events. We've seen Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger both get hurt on Sunday. We've seen Eli be benched because of ineptitude. Philip Rivers made a terrible decision, but there have been times in which Philip Rivers has looked a little bit old, not as spiteful, although he still has lots of juice in the tank. And then there's Tom Brady, who's older than all of them. Older than all of them. And seems to be healthier than all of them. And I was thinking about must-use-by dates on food. How much do you guys stick to those must-use-by dates on food? You know, you're supposed to use it or throw it away. And I think it's kind of a general guide, right? And there are certain things which are more perishable than others. Like, look, you can look at the date, but you open up some chicken and you're like, jeez, throw it away. Sometimes you open it up and it's 50-50. And if it's just you, you know, and you and the dog on a Friday night, you're like, ah, I'll cook the hell out of it. It'll be fine. Same thing with a steak. The steak's like gray, but still got a red in the middle. You're like, ah, doesn't stink too bad. Fine. Still got marks where the jockey was hitting it. But I feel like Eli Manning and these quarterbacks, like, look, these are perishable goods. They're perishable goods. And if Eli was milk, you know, I don't even think he's milk because milk is too perishable, doesn't last that long. But it's like, any of you guys into almond milk? Or soy milk? You keep soy milk too long, and you're like, well, it's soy milk, it's not real milk. How could it be bad? Like, real milk, when it goes bad, like, oh, whoa. That's like a running back. You know? Finite amount of time, and once they hit 30, it's over. It's completely done. a quarterback like Eli Manning's more like soy milk. You open it up, you're like, well, it smells okay. Looks okay. I'll just shake it up and use it. And then you pour it out, and all of a sudden there's a lump in it. You're like, ew, that's not that great. They're like, ah, could the lump be bad for me? It's just soybeans. It's just soybeans. And that's essentially what the Giants went into the season with. They knew the born-on date. They knew when they should use it by. They knew they should have moved on 2 years ago. Remember, 2 years ago, different coach, different GM, different president. They were like, yeah, we got to get other guys ready to play. They did it for 1 week, started Geno Smith. New York fans and former Giants lost their minds because they hate Geno Smith. And they chickened out and fired everybody except for Eli. 2 years ago, they opened up the soy milk and poured it out and saw a lump. And they're like, ah, we can still use it. It's fine. Just shake it more vigorously. Now you open it up and pour it onto your Cheerios. You're like, that is disgusting. There's no chance I'm eating that ever again. Whereas Brady feels like he's cheese. Right? Where he actually seems to be getting better with age. Most cheeses get, you know, most things in life, the stinkier they get, the worse they are. But a stinky cheese, you get a little mold on it, you just cut it off. Damn it, if Brady's hair's not better, his skin looks better. His teeth, clearly, he's had some whitening done, right? His teeth are better. Like, I don't know what's going on with Tom Brady doing the Benjamin Button thing, but that dude looks good. I feel like he's cheese. You know, you go into Whole Foods, and you're like, wait, aged cheese is better? Everything else, the whole deal with Whole Paycheck, Whole Foods, is the fresher the better, except for cheese, which is what Tom Brady is. You know, Big Ben feels like yogurt. He does. Feels like yogurt. Been good for a long time. Still kind of works, but are you really going to risk going into the yogurt now? And Philip Rivers feels like bread. Right? Where it doesn't mean that bread isn't usable when it gets older. You just got to use it for different things. Where you, okay, now we're going to use it. We're going to microwave it to soften it up. Or maybe we'll use it for some croutons now that it's hardened up. But eventually, that bread goes bad. These are all perishable items. None of them are canned foods. None of them are Twinkies, right? Twinkies, cockroaches, wrestlers, they're the only ones that will survive the aging process and the nuclear holocaust. That's not what quarterbacks are. Quarterbacks are humans. They're football players. They're perishable goods. And it feels like the Giants looked at the label and like, we can risk it. We'll be fine. What are the chances? And between Roethlisberger, Breeze, and Eli Manning, for different reasons, they look and feel older and feel like they held on to them way too long. And now you got to go in and clean out your refrigerator, and now it gets really, really hard. Yeah. Got to clean it out, got to throw it out, got to scrub it out. Now I got to go back and find just the perfect next thing to fill up. That's hard to do. Perishable items. The Giants moving on is a big thing, but it's something they knew they should have done going back 2 years ago. 2 years ago. Oh, we got a lot to get to. I feel bad for Trevor Siemian. He lasted all of like one half. Cam Newton sitting out practice. Don't know when he'll play. All sorts of quarterback issues. By the way, it does feel like Cam Newton and Andrew Luck are more like chicken. Right? More like chicken. Where, you know, they're about 30 years old. Like, they should be fine. Look good. And then you open up the package like, whoa! I just bought this chicken. It's like, Brady's 42. I just cut off a little mold and he tastes better. I opened you up fresh out of the pack. No, it never, ever, like whole chicken, you know, you get the gizzards in there, you pull that sucker out. But you don't even get to that. You open up that. Whoa! Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck is kind of like my wife. The second it starts to smell just a little bit different, I'm done. I'm out. And it feels like we know where this Cam Newton story goes. We're just, you know, Carolina's going to, cook it. It'll be fine. Throw in the deep fryer. You know? Deshaun Watson is, he's that chicken from the same store. You're like, man, I don't want to buy it because I just don't know if I get it home. I'm going to open it up and... Right? All right, enough about food. If you got hungry, we're drinking coffee here for lunch. Former NFL quarterback Chris Sims joins the show. What does he make of the timing of Eli's benching? And can Daniel Jones not only save the season, but how will he perform? This is not a great football team. Is Baker Mayfield the solution or part of the problem for the Browns to continue to struggle on third down?
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Yeah, so I don't think I understand the constant defense of Odell Beckham Jr. Like, why is this so hard to wear the visor that everybody else can wear? Right? Now, for anyone who said, and I've had people troll me, no one said Odell Beckham Jr. wasn't good, wasn't talented, wasn't explosive. Have you ever heard? This is like the biggest misconception. This is what we do in media. It's really what troll fans do, but media is now taken to doing it. Where Lamar Jackson has a couple of great games, and Lamar Jackson's like, not bad for running back. No one said he was a running back. There was some scouts that wanted to see him run some routes as a wide receiver. And based upon how he threw the football his first year in the NFL, he looked like a guy who could play wide receiver. And there have been slash players before and just trying to see his agility, his speed. But it wasn't like he was being evaluated solely as a wide receiver, and no one evaluated him as a running back. Just like no one said, hey, Odell Beckham Jr. can't play. You know? Now, Greg Williams tried to talk a little trash, but we've been over that. Like, this is Greg Williams. He thinks he's being funny. Greg Williams can, you know, look at the dark pavement and tell you it's white, look at the sky and tell you it's black when it's blue. It's Greg Williams. Greg Williams told us he turned down multiple head coaching opportunities to be the defensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns. Like, when a guy consistently says something that's not true, and then he makes an outlandish statement, which we all know is not true, why would anybody think that it's true? Everyone knows Odell Beckham Jr. is an elite talent. It's all the other stuff. All the other stuff. That's it. And, you know, look, last night he had the 89-yard catch and run. He had the one-handed catch. He looked like Odell Beckham Jr. My bigger questions are about Baker Mayfield. If you take out Odell's catch, and you take out Odell, Baker Mayfield, 53% completion percentage, 236 yards, no touchdowns, one interception. Against a beat-up Jets team who, they're not terrible defensively, but they're not great. Right? Missing your star linebacker, first-round pick on the defensive line. Do have Jamal Adams, who's a tremendous player. But it's not like anyone lines up and goes, you know, the 85 Bears and the 2019 Jets, best defenses we've ever seen. Chris Sims joins us from NBC Sports. Your thoughts on how Baker Mayfield has played so far?
Yeah, I hear you there. I mean, it's certainly not been his best football. I don't think there's, you know, any denying that at this point. I think there's you know, one common theme I thought I saw with both games, and really this kind of went into preseason game number three with Baker Mayfield, just to talk about, he has been a little off since preseason game three in Tampa Bay. He's missed some throws where you just go, wow, but you know, the Baker Mayfield I saw last year, that would have been right on the money. So he's been a little errant with his accuracy. But I think the big thing that's jumped out to me more than anything with the Titans game and then yesterday with the Jets is I think people are testing Baker Mayfield and, you know, his youngness and immaturity as far as just being a true first-year full starter as a quarterback. A lot of different looks. That's what jumped out to me about the Tennessee Titans film last week when I watched it. And then last night, you know, I haven't watched that film yet, Doug, but, you know, you watched it. You saw how many people Greg Williams is putting at the line of scrimmage. Are they blitzing? Are they going to drop out? Just different looks to where I think right now this will be a common theme where teams are going to go, let's see if we can continue to test this kid to get everybody on the same page on the offensive side of the ball. They got a lot of moving parts. Can he get all the protections right? And I think within that, that's made him also a little unsure of himself and led to some of those errant throws and just bad decisions that we've seen.
Let's get to the story of the day. Chris Sims joins us on Fox Sports Radio. Eli Manning's been benched for Daniel Jones. The timing appears to be a little bit curious. What's your reaction?
Well, I'm shocked, I think, is the first thing. I just did not think that. I thought the Giants, who have shown, you know, blind loyalty to Eli really over the last 4 and 5 years, like he could do no wrong. I thought they'd give him a few more chances to fail, honestly. I really did. But I think overall what they're looking at, and they're trying to build something for the future here too, they probably have looked at the first 2 weeks of film and said, man, it's hard to sell to our team that we're trying to win the game with the way Eli's played. And I know there's more issues than just Eli, but with the way Eli's played, and yet we have this guy behind him who is just physically better than Eli at this point. And because we're undermanned and maybe not that good, we might need to rely on a guy that could make a throw that Eli can't or escape the pocket and run that Eli can't. And I think that's ultimately what's probably leading them into the decision. I'm surprised it happened this early. But regardless, you know, it's hard to argue with the timing. I mean, hey, the writing's been on the wall for Eli Manning here, I think, for the last few years. And I know it's tough, and I don't like saying that about Eli Manning. I got tremendous respect for the player, the human being, all of that. Greatest quarterback in Giants history. You know, he's a legend. But, you know, I just think it's the end of the road, and all good things come to an end.
Chris Sims is our guest. All right, what about Daniel Jones? Likely he was maybe in the conversation the best quarterbacks in the preseason.
Right.
They take on the Buccaneers in the road, then the Redskins at home before they get the Vikings and the Patriots. So he gets two games, I wouldn't say easier, but first game's a road start against a kind of surprising Buccaneers squad in terms of how well they played last Thursday night. How do you think they match up with the Bucs?
Yeah, well, you know, they match up with the Bucs okay. I mean, the Bucs, the defense, they're a young team on the defensive side of the ball. They got some young talent. I would think that's probably, Doug, part of the reasoning why they're throwing him in there this week. Okay, this is a game that, you know, we could possibly win. It's not an overwhelmingly talented defense to where, you know, we're putting a rookie quarterback in an impossible situation. You know, at this point in time, Tampa Bay playing down there on the road is not exactly like, you know, being known for, like, being in Seattle. And I say that with all due respect to the Buccaneers fans because I love Tampa Bay and all that. But, yeah, there's just not great energy and belief there quite yet. I think that would be part of the decision of why they started them. So, again, the Giants have a lot of issues. It's not just Eli Manning. I mean, hey, in his defense, we know receivers are banged up along with, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. not being there. And the other thing I would really question about the Giants more than anything on their team right now other than Eli Manning would be their secondary. I mean, their secondary is nothing special. And then when you have a nothing special secondary with no legit pass rusher on the front line, that's going to lead to some disaster and some big plays by offensive teams. But I would think that the Buccaneers not being that great, not being a tough environment to go in, is all part of the reason why Daniel Jones is being thrusted into it, along with the Redskins the week after, like you said, who, you know, are sitting there 0-2 and certainly not being considered as one of the best teams in the NFC.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Interesting that Pittsburgh went and traded for Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Considering, I don't know, we felt like their season was lost without Ben Roethlisberger. What's your reaction?
Yeah, I was surprised too. I really was. I mean, is Minkah Fitzpatrick going to fix the problems that the Pittsburgh Steelers have right now? Do we even know really what Minkah Fitzpatrick is as an NFL player yet? You know, we don't even know what position he really plays. That was the problem of him coming out in the NFL draft that teams were scared of. You know, is he a safety? Is he a nickelback? Is he a corner that goes on the outside? You know, obviously being played out of position with Miami in the box is like a strong safety. He didn't like that. And, you know, I think that's not his natural position. But, you know, the Pittsburgh Steelers, yes, they're more than one player away right now. I mean, they need more offensive weapons. I mean, they need to figure out a way to run the football. And, again, I think the big thing I look at with the Minkah Fitzpatrick thing and just the unknown about him in the secondary, you know, we've been talking about this for a while. Pittsburgh can't play man-to-man coverage. It's been an issue there for quite some time, and they were a little better last year, and I thought, ooh, maybe they'll improve as this year continues. But, you know, Minkah Fitzpatrick's not the type of guy that you're going to sit there and go, hey, you go out there and cover Odell Beckham Jr. for 60 snaps, you know, one-on-one, and we'll be fine. No, that's not what he is. You know, it's kind of another zone secondary type of guy. Good player, certainly, but I was surprised by it. But obviously, you know, Doug, I don't know, and you tell me wrong. You know, maybe there is some logic here to where they just feel like they're still building for the future. Maybe they still feel like, hey, Big Ben will be back, and we got him for two more years, and we're just putting some, we're getting a piece right now that we feel like can help us out. But I think it's certainly dangerous with the fact that they, right now, I mean, they could have a top 10, top 15 pick in the draft, and they just traded that away, I think, for kind of an unproven commodity to this point.
What do you think of Mason Rudolph?
I like Mason Rudolph. I was not in love with him coming out of the draft. He did look good last week. I will give him that. You know, I always kind of questions his ability to be like a special thrower of the football. He is big. He's a pretty good athlete. But I never looked at it and went, oh, he can make game-changing throws and plays. Hopefully he can prove me wrong. But Pittsburgh, Ben Roethlisberger, Mason Rudolph, whoever it is, they got to find a different formula on the offensive side of the ball. It just can't be shotgun. We're going to throw screens and take an occasional shot down the field. You know, it's different personnel there. And there's nobody that scares you. Juju's really good. But as you know, Juju's not the type of guy that you just line up outside and defenses go, oh, my gosh, if we don't double-team him, he's going to run for 80-yard bombs over our head. No, he's more of a really great number two or a low-end number one. You want him to work the middle of the field. He's going to catch some contested 50-50 balls and back shoulder balls on the outside. So, you know, Mason Rudolph, the Pittsburgh Steelers, going out to the West Coast in San Francisco, who's a very, or not a very good team, but definitely a good team and a good defense. I don't expect them to win that game out there.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Another day, another weird Antonio Brown story. Like, literally, there's one every day. It's really kind of remarkable.
Yeah.
Brady still appears to be all in. They used him a bunch and tried to find ways, you know, with, you know, 25 snaps or so, and really, especially first drive, tried to get him the football. But you've worked in New England. At what point do they go, dude, enough is enough? I mean, this is just a lot.
I think if it's something a little bit more substantial, one more thing of just, you know, again, and I have, you know, it's a tough situation. He's a knucklehead. You know, I mean, from the looks of things here, I mean, he doesn't have one screw loose. He's got two screws loose. And you know, I had always been told certain things coming out of Pittsburgh that he was a lot more of a handful than the public realized. And I had known for years that he had been missing meetings and walking out of the building whenever he likes and kind of just, you know, what do I want to say, walking to his own beat of the drum or whatever the hell you say there. But I think what's concerning to me is just over the last year and a half, we've seen a lot of that filter over to outside the football field, whether it's, you know, stiffing people on owing them money, you know, throwing furniture off the balcony, threatening to punch the Sports Illustrated writer in the jaw because he was finding some incriminating things about Antonio Brown. I mean, I'm like you. I'm kind of sick of talking about the guy. Phenomenal football player, but certainly not a phenomenal human being. But I do think if there was, like, you know, one more substantial thing, and whatever that may be, that he could be in trouble with New England, where they just might go, you know what, we don't need you. We're kind of good without you, even though you're awesome, and you certainly improve our chances. I think one more, you know, chink in the armor there, as they say, would really hurt him in the eyes of Mr. Kraft and Bill Belichick.
Wondering a little bit, Chris Sims, our guest on Fox Sports Radio, Wondering a little bit about Lamar Jackson. Obviously, the numbers are amazing, but the Dolphins are horrific.
Right.
And frankly, Arizona's not very good either.
Right.
A little bit stiffer test against Kansas City this weekend.
Yes.
But I'm just wondering how real what you're seeing is and how much of it, hey, it's the first 4 weeks and people are going to adjust and these are two of the worst teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I err more on this is real right now. And I'm like you, I was, you know, 50-50 after the Dolphins game, you know. And again, we got to give him credit. I mean, we give Tom Brady credit for carving him up last week. We got to give credit to Lamar Jackson, carving him up week one. I just got done watching that film, so that's a good thing. I think it is real, Doug. I really do. Now, again, you're right. The Arizona Cardinals, certainly nothing special on defense, but I don't think I'm ready to anoint the Kansas City Chiefs defense as something special yet either. Now, it's improved from last year in Kansas City. There's no doubt about it. Their defense gives them a fighting chance for the first time in a while, and I think that's encouraging. But this is, to me, if I just had to get X's and O's a little with you about what I see from Baltimore, they really put you in a bind. And then they put you in a bind defensively to where they give the Baltimore Ravens offenses some really like optimal looks to strike in the passing game. Why? Well, because of Lamar Jackson's skill set and their hulking huge offensive line that you have to defend. So they're going to get, and this is like the Cam Newton factor when he was in his prime, because you had to worry about so many different things that they did behind the line of scrimmage with Cam Newton. You couldn't be funky or creative or crazy with your coverages because you knew if we do something crazy and double this guy over here and this guy turns his back to double somebody else, Cam Newton might keep the ball and then he runs for 50 yards right down the middle of our defense and we're screwed. And that's what Lamar Jackson does. He kind of handcuffs defenses with this little system they have as far as running the ball and then his skill set. Defenses are going to tend to play it simple and safe just so they know, okay, we're in our gaps for the run game and we're not going to mess up. They shift in motion a lot in Baltimore. So within that, they really create some favorable passing looks for Lamar Jackson. And Doug, the throws are real. You know, I saw enough throws in this game last week. He missed a few, certainly, but man, he made some that I went, wow. I mean, those are jaw droppers where I just went, holy cow. I mean, that a way to throw it, Lamar. That a way to throw the laser right down the middle of the field between two guys. There's enough in there that I think this is real. Whether he keeps up this pace or not, I don't know. But I think he is becoming a quarterback right in front of our eyes.
Last thing, Teddy Bridgewater did not look like he was ready, like he was sharp.
No.
They paid a bunch of money to hold on to him.
Yep.
I do think people forget that when he's in Minnesota, he was managing games
exactly, before
he got hurt.
Right.
Can the Saints hang on and hang around with Drew Brees out?
Yeah, I do think they can because they have a great coach in Sean Payton. They got a good offensive line. They got a great defensive line where you're not going to be able to run the football on them consistently. Now, they're going to start Teddy Bridgewater, I'm sure, this week. I'm sure we'll see a little Taysom Hill. But I think eventually Taysom Hill should be the guy. In fact, I mean, if I was Sean Payton, I'll just say it to you right now, I would start Taysom Hill. You got Seattle and Dallas next week. And it's Seattle on the road. You got to give your team a schematical advantage. And just what I saw from Taysom Hill in the preseason, Doug, it went from, okay, yeah, this is just a great athlete who can throw the ball deep every now and then to, whoa, this guy's playing quarterback now and making like every throw in the book and sitting in the pocket and going through reads. And, you know, I know Sean Payton's made comparisons to Steve Young. And, you know, I just would not be shocked that if the first two quarters go a little shaky up there in Seattle with Teddy Bridgewater, if we don't see the Taysom Hill show and era begin there, because I know this is Sean Payton's like baby. This is his pet right here, his little science experiment. And, I think Taysom Hill has a pretty special skill set that can really stress defenses out, just like we talked with Lamar Jackson. They can do all those creative things and really create a lot of optimal looks for what they want to do in the pass game and make it easy on him that way, too, to where he doesn't have to read maybe the intricate coverages that Drew Brees might have to face and all of that.
Last thing, you had a splenectomy. You had your spleen removed.
Right.
I mean, one of the big things for Darnold in terms of when he comes back is his spleen.
Yes.
What does the spleen even do? How dangerous is it to play with a potentially swollen spleen?
Yeah, well, the spleen, it's the biggest thing is it fights infection and disease. It's a big part of your immune system. It filters your blood. So because I don't have mine, that is, my immune system is certainly compromised. I have to get vaccinations every 3 years for the rest of my life, things like that. You know, the enlarged spleen is not going to be the issue. He could play with that. The danger is that it, when it's enlarged, you know, there's more opportunity for it to, you know, get hurt or, you know, scar it, you know, bruise it, get a hematoma, whatever it may be. And I think that's the ultimate thing, is they don't want to put him in danger to where he hurts his spleen and then they have to do a splenectomy and take it out, and then you have a whole world of problems there in general, and let alone mononucleosis. I mean, your energy levels are really low and all that too. Now, I didn't have that. I just took a straight shot to the spleen. But I feel for my man Sam Darnold, because this is, you know, a chance for him to grow and continue to get better in this Adam Gase offense. And of course, the Jets, they need him right now, and they're kind of beat up and banged up. But you know, I'm rooting for him to get back out there soon. But yeah, certainly you don't want to lose your spleen. I got a big scar down the middle of my stomach, and my six pack has been messed up ever since.
Yeah, that's really the issue with the six pack. Not the dad bod. Nothing.
You know, right. I have an excuse always. So when everybody like sees me in a bathing suit, they're like, "Oh, you're not as like ripped up as I thought." I want to be like, "Oh, well, I used to have a six pack, but now, you know, I have a huge scar there that really messed up," and people buy that, so I just go with that.
Good enough. Good man. Yep. Thanks so much, Chris. Radio coming up next. What are the chances Eli Manning finishes his career with another team? We'll discuss next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time on the Doug Gottlieb Show, we like to get you caught up on the stories of the day, give you opinions that count. And we do so by playing a game.
Game time!
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Go further than ever with Discover Miles. They actually match your miles you earn at the end of your first year. So your 35,000 miles could become 70,000 miles. Discover Miles. Limitations apply. Discover match for new card members only. Learn more at discover.com/travel. Dan Byer, what's the game?
Doug, the game today is...
What are the chances?
All right, what are the chances that the Giants trade quarterback Eli Manning this season?
I think pretty good. I legitimately do. And, you know, it's kind of interesting here, right? What do the Giants need help in outside of quarterback and wide receiver and offensive line, defensive line, linebacker? What do they need help?
Other than that, they're
no,
solid.
What are they? Huh?
They're solid.
Who needs a quarterback? I proposed this trade 2 years ago.
The Jaguars?
Yes. Right?
Yeah, but
I mean, like, look, do I think Eli Manning is good? No, but do I think he's better than Gardner Minshew? I do. And you're looking to try and find a way to offload Jalen Ramsey. There's your possible answer.
Mm. Nick Foles scheduled to come back, though, from that broken collarbone, at least this season.
Yeah, we just don't know when and, you know, and how durable he'll be.
I think
they try it. That's the only reason you would pull the trigger this quickly, is if you're going to try and get something for him.
Perfect transition is, what are the chances the Jaguars trade quarterback Jalen Ramsey before Thursday's game against the Titans?
Okay, so here's my question. If he played Thursday, they can't trade him Friday, right? And play Sunday?
That'd be
amazing.
Yeah, that would be. You know, there was a case where I thought it was maybe Snacks Harrison got traded to the Lions, where he was playing an extra game. My memory may have failed me there, but yeah, that would be something. I don't know if that is possible, but to play Thursday, trade it on Friday and play for your new team on Sunday.
Yep. Yep. Interesting.
I wish I knew.
Stuff.
Yeah. So, what do you think it happens in the next 48 hours?
I do think he's traded.
Chances? 95%?
No, like a 60%.
All right. What are the chances Adam Vinatieri remains the Colts kicker for the rest of the season?
Oh, like 15%.
All right.
He says he's got to get rid of the demons.
Yes. Right? That's his percentage on extra points this year, by the way. No, I'm just kidding. But it was close. What are the chances, Doug, we will have a winless team in the NFL this year? An 0-16 squad.
I'm going to say 20% chance. I think the Dolphins are really bad. I think there's some other teams that are really bad. But, I mean, look at the Dolphins, and Cowboys, Chargers, Redskins, the possibility for them to win. At Bills, maybe. At Steelers, no. Jets at home, possible. I'm going to say 15, 20%.
What are the chances we'll have an unbeaten team in the NFL this season?
Like a 5% chance.
Mm.
5%.
Patriots and Chiefs
play each other, too.
Yeah. That actually may keep it. Oh, yeah. What are the chances, Doug, we'll see an NFL game break the record for the largest spread for an NFL contest? Happened in 1987. The Niners were 23-point favorites over the Falcons. Jets-Patriots right now is at 22.5.
Yeah, that'll happen.
It may happen this week.
100% chance.
100% chance. Yes. What is the chance that it happens with Jets-Patriots this week?
80% chance.
Okay. Finally, Doug, what are the chances that John Ramos needs another 2 months off as they bring in baby number 4 in the possible future?
I'm going to say 1% chance,
1% chance.
I'm wondering if John got a little snip. He's been speaking a little bit higher voice than normal.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Hey, real quick, Beyer.
Yes.
What's happening in baseball?
The big news with Felipe Vasquez today.
Yeah, I would prefer like that one. I could do without. Right. I meant in terms of the wild card and everything.
NL Central is still up for grabs. Cubs and Cardinals play a bunch over these final 2 weeks.
Brewers Cubs have won 5 in a row.
Yeah, Brewers are sitting there in the thick of things, just a game back of the Cubs. But the division is still up for grabs. Milwaukee doesn't play either team the rest of the way. Brewers have the easier schedule, but the NL Central is where a lot of the action is going to be over these final 2 weeks.
And then there's the Nationals who are right there in the thick of the wild card thing. So that whole deal is super, super interesting, I guess, to those people. There you go. There's your baseball 30 seconds. Coming up next, Bears fans rejoice. They have finally found their kicker. Did you guys, I don't know how much you watched that Bears-Broncos game. That was wild. Remember, the Broncos converted a 2-point conversion down 1 to take the lead, only to have the Bears march back and get the game-winning field goal from our next guest, who now could run for mayor and win 2 times over in the Windy City. We'll find out what that entire experience was like. Upcoming next in the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day, man. Doug Gottlieb Show. Brought to you by Farmers. At Farmers, we've seen almost everything, so we know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay in the game. Put their experience in play at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
The Chicago Bears kicking deal is really amazing. Really, really amazing. Right? Like last year, they signed Cody Parkey. Now, Parkey, if you go back to before last season, he was the most sought-after free agent kicker in the NFL. Matter of fact, the only reason he left the Miami Dolphins, and he's from Florida originally, was because the Dolphins just didn't have the money to keep him. But of course, he struggled. He struggled, and then under cover of darkness, he was kicking at Soldier Field as he felt like he was struggling with the conditions there, with the footing there. And ultimately, they end up parting company. So then they had this open kicker competition, and one name emerged, Eddie Pinheiro. And Eddie Pinheiro was, let's just hope if you're a Chicago Bear fan, right? Let's just hope. He had the double doink in week 1, and you're just hoping that week 2 in Denver brings some clarity. So what does he do? He kicks a game-winning field goal, and now he's the hero for all of Chicagoland. What's this been like? Let's catch up with Eddie Pinheiro of the Chicago Bears. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Eddie, how are you?
Hey, how you doing, Doug?
Good, man. I want to get to what life's like now, but when you first showed up in Chicago, how many other kickers were there?
So when I first got here, there was 2 guys. It was Elliot and Chris. And then before that, I heard there was like 8 or 9. So
you show up, and what's a kicking competition actually like?
It's pretty crazy. I mean, you go out, you you hit some field goals. They're charting every single field goal, and they're charting every kick, and whoever has a better day, has a better day that day, and that's how it goes.
Did you know that you were the guy? Did you have that much better a day?
When I first got here, I was kicking pretty good. But Elliot is a really good kicker as well. I mean, it came down to me and Elliot in preseason, and he's a really good, accurate kicker as well. And, I had no doubt that I was their guy since the beginning. Like I said, I performed well, in the kicking competitions and stuff that we had. So, yeah.
All right. So take me through, against the Bears, you made your first, your first kick. First NFL field goal, a 38-yarder. What's that feeling like? Like, look, you're a good kicker in college at Florida, obviously. It's not your first time kicking a field goal. But to do it in the NFL and to do it for the Chicago Bears, what was that like?
Oh, it was amazing. There was a lot of pressure build up. And, is this guy going to come through for us? Is he not going to come through for us? And, that first kick meant a lot to me, not just to me, but, to my family, to the team. And it was an emotional kick, so.
Okay, so now fast forward to the Denver game, right? Denver, yep. They're down a point. They go for two. You're standing over in the sideline. What were you thinking?
I usually do my same routine. I was just there, hitting some footballs against the net and, just started praying, hopefully getting this opportunity. I was craving the opportunity. I wanted to show everybody, that I'm a good kicker. I'm not just an average kicker. I wanted to show everybody that I could be the best kicker. So, it was awesome that I was able to make that kick. And
How do you control your nerves? How do you control your nerves? Like you're standing over there in the sideline and you're watching, you're watching your team try and march down the field and getting you into field goal range. How do you control your breathing and not, get too excited to where you're not doing your job?
Yeah, like I said, I'm just out there just on the nets and just hitting some balls into the nets, and I'm talking to, Patty and just positive vibes, and we felt like it was coming, and it was pretty crazy. Like I had a smile on my face the whole time because I knew, it was just weird. I just really knew that I was going to make that kick, and I don't know if it's a confidence thing or what it is, but I just had a really good feeling just running out to the field like, wow, like, I feel like I'm about to make this kick, like it was a pretty cool feeling.
Yeah. Plus there was like right before you got a chance to kick, the whistle blew and there was zeros on the clock. And you're like, wait, I might not get a chance. Like that range of emotions. I'm just wondering, you're over there like, all right, just give me a shot.
Yeah.
And, fourth and 15. And then it looks like, are you able to maintain focus? Are you watching all of this craziness that goes on?
Yeah, unfortunately, I am watching the whole craziness. I mean, you're a part of the game. You're seeing what's going on, when there was 0 seconds on the clock, I was kind of pissed. I was like, wow, like, I can't believe, like, my shot's gone. Like, I wanted to make this kick, like, and then when everything came back and, like, oh, put 1 second back on the clock, I instantly went from, like, pissed to, like, oh, hell yeah, like, this is it. Like, it's happening, It was awesome. It was a great feeling.
All right, so you trot out there. 53 yards in Denver is like what in Chicago or what in Florida? What's that? We're always told altitude affects a kick. How much does it affect it?
Well, I mean, a lot of people think, I felt it, I didn't really feel it too much on field goals. I felt it more on kickoffs. And, I talked to Brandon McManus, the kicker for Denver, and he's like, hey, this is your first time kicking, and pregame I asked him, what's the wind do? What's it like? This and that, trying to get some tips, And he pretty much told me, listen, you won't really feel it as much on field goals. You'll feel it more on kickoffs. But, like on field goals, if it didn't feel too much different. It flies a little bit more. But, on kickoffs, you can definitely feel it a lot more.
So you trot out there and you kick it. By the way, what was the bracelet you were wearing on your right wrist?
Oh, it's just a cross. I have two crosses on my wrist. Yeah.
You say a prayer before you kick, or you? What's your routine?
Always, man. I always said a prayer, and I'm a religious person, and I always feel like if it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. It's already written, and I'm just enjoying the ride.
Pretty good 24th birthday present. Did you get anything else other than getting yourself a 53-yard field goal that keeps you employed?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much what I got. I mean, my parents aren't a big birthday people, so, I mean, I just got some good text messages and some hugs and kisses. That's all. So.
Eddie De Niro Pinheiro joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, so on the way to Denver, who did you sit with in the plane?
So the good thing is I got my own seat. Everybody gets their own seat.
Well, I didn't expect you to sit on the wing, dude. I'm just not like, yeah, we is it just seat. You, the punter, the long snapper, you guys just hiding out, trying to duck out, or were you in the mix of the guys?
No, we're in the mix of the guys, but we get our own seat. We get our own seat.
Okay. So coming back, I would guess they're like, now you're kind of one of the guys, right? Before, you were just the kicker. Now, different on the flight home?
It was pretty cool. I mean, yeah, like, you know, the head coach came up to me and talked to me on the plane, and the players were coming up to me and just congratulating me and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, Tyreek was like, hey, you want the first, because Tyreek had the first first class. He had a first class seat. He's like, hey, you want my first class seat? I was like, no, man, I'm good. I'm good, man. I appreciate it. People were like offering me their first class seat and stuff. It was pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it's really, really cool. Coolest text you got after making that kick?
Coolest text that I got? I mean, for me, emotionally, probably my dad, you know, from everything we've been through and the whole kicking situation and him waking me up early and getting me ready to be the kicker that I am and feeding and, you know, me feeding off his mindset since he was a professional soccer player. So, I mean, that was, to me, the coolest text was my dad just saying he was proud of me and I'm so proud of you from all the stuff you've been through with Chicago and the kicking situation, everything, and you overcame it and stuff. So that was probably, to me, the best text.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Eddie, congrats. Happy birthday. And
appreciate it.
Thanks so much for joining us. I guess now you can unpack in Chicago for a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, for a little bit until next game, right?
Until next game. Thanks, Eddie.
Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Eddie Pinheiro joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Music, do you want to know what stuck out here? I don't know what stuck out to you guys. I don't know if you heard of Dan Beyer.
Jimmy and Caesar.
I don't think he knew Matt Nagy's name. He's like, the head coach came up to me. He's only been there for, you know, a couple weeks. But he's like, you know, the head coach came up to me. Some of these other guys, I don't know, they came up to me. Tariq Cohen, you know, because he's Tariq Cohen. Plus, he's like his size. Tariq Cohen might be smaller. So I thought that was hilarious. Gosh, you wish like all athletes would be like that. Oh, gee, shucks, nice. So happy. And then he's like, yeah, until next week, which is totally the way it works, the kickers. You know, you'll get people on the radio who will say, oh, we got to get rid of kickers. We got to, you know, we got real football players. Like, I don't know. I kind of think it's one of the things that specialists, kind of one of those things that makes all sports great. Right? All sports great. The ability to come in and have one specific goal and so pressure packed that when you have a bad week or two, Adam Vinatieri is a first ballot Hall of Famer, arguably the most consistent kicker in the National Football League. Now he's had two bad weeks and people are like, dude, you might want to retire that dude. Whereas in the NFL, you know, if you're playing linebacker, you're playing defensive end, hell, you're even a quarterback, like two bad weeks. And if you're a Hall of Famer, outside Eli Manning, you'll survive. Anyway, thought the Bears fans would enjoy that. Eddie Pinheiro, great stories with the Raiders a little bit last year, and then was traded, obviously, conditional seventh-round pick, and ends up winning the kicking job and winning them a game. Crazy, crazy game. Crazy, crazy game. Bills running back Devin Singletary joins the show upcoming next. Remember, the Bills cut Shady McCoy, kept Devin Singletary. The Bills are 2-0, and suddenly Josh Allen looking like the answer in upstate New York. Can they compete with the Patriots? Can they compete with the Bills Mafia? I don't know if Chris Singletary would ever think about jumping off one of those RV roofs onto a table or something like that that's on fire. We'll ask him next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. So I think it's kind of interesting. Like we talked about teams yesterday that are out, right? We're like, man, we went through all these teams that, you know, I don't feel like Pittsburgh's going to be a playoff team. I look, Miami, obviously, out, done. Jets, out, done. Jags, out, done, goodbye. Bengals, no thanks, not going to happen. Redskins, no. Nope, not even a little bit. Like, you know, you kind of start to look through some of these teams, you're like, man, I took 11 teams. Now Cam Newton's hurt, not practicing today, don't know if he's going to play this weekend. They're already 0-2 and two home games. Like, we're at 11, possibly 12 teams you can say not going to make the playoffs. And keep in mind, 12 teams do make the playoffs. There's only 32 teams. Probably the least discussed 2-0 team in the league has a young stud quarterback and a young star running back. And that running back is Devin Singletary. He joins us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Devin, how are you?
Doing well. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good, man. What's 2-0 feel like?
Feeling pretty good so far.
What's your reaction to being 2-0? Like, in all honesty, surprise? Expected? How did you feel coming into the season about your team's chances?
You know, I know we had to work hard, you know, day in and day out. So, you know, I wouldn't say I was too surprised, you know. Kind of, you always want to go into a game expecting to win, so kind of expecting, you know. And, you know, just good. Our hard work paying off, and it's showing right now.
No question. For you personally, you're two games in. You've only played really in one stadium, neither of which are your home stadium. Only played in MetLife. Like, what does your body feel like 2 weeks into an NFL season?
My body feel pretty good, you know. Honestly, I'm not too sore or anything like that. So the start for me has been going smooth so far. So.
The biggest difference, I mean, you're a guy, and for people who don't know Devin's career, star at Florida Atlantic, rushed for over 1,000 yards all 3 years, 4,287 yards in only three seasons of work, of course, last couple years, under Lane Kiffin. Biggest adjustment you've had to make?
You know, just the speed. The speed, you know, it's a little faster, and guys are a little bigger. So, you know, that was probably like the biggest adjustment. But at the end of the day, once I got settled in, it was just football at the end of the day.
Anybody got you yet? Anybody hit you like, oh, that was my first big time? That would have worked in college, but they got me here.
Yeah. I wouldn't say a big hit, but, like, you know, someone made a tackle on me when I was like, I'm like, okay, you know, if I would have pressed this more, and maybe, you know, I could have set this up differently, you know. So definitely things that fly in college don't, you know, they don't fly in the NFL, at least not everything.
Devin Singletary joining us. What did it say about how the team felt about you when they released Shady?
You know, I guess you can say they believed in me, you know. They felt like the best situation was, you know, I guess to keep me. So I felt like they believed in me.
Frank Gore is 36 years old. Okay, so 36 years old, and he still got it. I saw that touchdown run he had last weekend. I'm like, damn, what's it like to play alongside and to work out with Frank Gore?
Right, you know, it's been great. Honestly, Frank, man, he always has great energy. You know, he always comes to work day in and day out. He's probably like the first one in and probably the last one to leave every day. And it's been fun. For him to be in the league this long, you can tell how much he loved the game. So it's been fun so far.
I mean, it's crazy. Like, you're not even old enough to maybe have watched him when he played in college at the U. Like, that's how old he is.
Yeah. No, I'm watching him at the U, though.
Devin Singletary joining us. What's Josh Allen like?
Josh, man, Josh a cool dude, you know. But when we on that field, he definitely a general. You know, he's always poised. He's always full of energy. You know, and he's a great leader.
You know, the Bills Mafia, they're a little tamer than they used to be. They haven't had a home game yet. I'm sure you've heard of it. Have you heard of or seen any of these stunts that they try and pull before the game?
No, I didn't hear about nothing yet. I just heard, you know, Bills Mafia is some of the best fans. And I definitely believe that.
Well, I mean, they're a little crazy too, right? They get a little alcohol, you know, they start lighting things on fire, jumping off of cars onto tables, all kinds of craziness. Yeah. But to be 2-0 in Buffalo, what's it like around town? Do you ever get a chance to get out and people know who you are?
Yeah, here and there. Like if I'm going out to eat or, you know, if I'm at the grocery store or something, you know, people just be like, you know, I'm walking to Buffalo, keep doing a good job and everything like that.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you guys are 2-0, and yet it still feels like you're under the radar. Do you feel that way?
I guess so, you know. I feel like we're under the radar, you know. So, we like it that way.
Yeah.
So we're going to see how it plays out.
All right, Cincinnati this weekend, and then the Patriots next weekend. I know you're not supposed to look ahead, right? Not supposed to look ahead. But how hard is it to not look ahead and see Patriots come to your place a week from Sunday?
Right. Definitely. You definitely don't want to look ahead. You know, you got to take it week by week. We got Cincinnati this week, and that's what we focus on, you know.
All right. Fair enough. I also know you're going back home to Miami in a couple weeks, in a couple months, right? We saw Antonio Brown, so many of these guys. What's it like, all you Florida guys, have you played in cold weather yet?
The coldest game I ever played in was probably 20 degrees. So, yeah,
you're gonna have to kind of figure that thing out, right? Like, you're gonna.
I feel like it's all a mindset thing, you know. At the end of the day, that's all it is. We've got plenty of Florida guys that have been on the team, you know, that played in the cold weather and they did fine. So if they can do it, I know I can do it.
Oh, and listen, I know you can do it. It's just. Do you want to do it, right? Like, everybody says, like, I'll be good, and then you step out of the locker room, and that north wind blows, and you're like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, man, I mean, of course it's going to be cold, but, you know, this is what we signed up for. This is what we love to do.
No question. All right, you got 5 of the next 7 at home. Best of luck. Keep it going, and congrats on a hot start to your rookie season. Thanks for joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, appreciate you, man.
All right, so let's speculate a little bit, shall we? Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. What about the Chargers as a possibility? He and Derwin James are close, right? I mean, think about it. If you have Ramsey, Casey Hayward, Derwin James in defensive backfield, like, wow. And the Chargers' first-round pick, is that mid-first-round at best? Obviously, they're dealing with a ton of injuries. To people who say, well, what? Trade Melvin Gordon for him. Like, they barely want Leonard Fournette, let alone another running back in Melvin Gordon who wants to get overpaid. Like, that's not happening. But a first round pick, a possibility. There's the Raiders, right? You know, they're starting Gerrion Conley and Darryl Worley. And he'd fit well into Paul Gunther's system. That's a possibility. Kansas City Chiefs, the team that I've heard Chargers, Chiefs, and Seahawks, you know, they have Tyrann Mathieu. They have Juan Thornhill. You got Frank Clark up front. And they need help defensively. Need help. So I would say Chiefs, you look and you go Chiefs and Seahawks more so than the Patriots. I don't see the Patriots. They have the best defensive backfield already in the league, and even though they've been able to take Antonio Brown and some others with personality quirks, I don't see the need there. This is Jalen Ramsey earlier today addressing his trade request.
I wanted to talk as soon as I could today just because I don't really want it to be a distraction for my teammates getting ready for a game on Thursday. And right now I'm still a part of the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I'm happy about that. I want all my dogs to go out there and ball. I want to ball with them on Thursday. Do you know if I'm still here? I'm in a real good space right now. I'm at peace. Last week I came in here real positive. I'm still on that, man.
All right, listen. Well, you're going to hear a lot of other sports television, sports radio, sports blogger, sports podcast guys talk about is this NFL guy trying to be NBA guy. You'll hear a lot of that. And look, NFL players want to be NBA players because NBA players don't have helmets on and they're just cooler. Right? Either everybody wants to be a basketball player or a rapper, right? Every free agency period, you know, they find out you got what, and As much as you could say baseball, they're like, yeah, we've seen football players throw baseballs before. Basketball, that doesn't work. Like, in their mind, basketball players, I tell this to my wife, actually. Basketball is the equity of the masses. When you're at school, I don't know if my son's going to be a basketball player, a baseball player, a football player. He's a good little, really good little athlete. But you want him to be a good little basketball player because basketball is the equity of the masses. On the playground. On the playground. Like, you can hoop, you're good, you're cool. And when you, I played Notre Dame, I played Oklahoma State, I go all these football players, they all want to play hoop. They all want to play hoop. Not just because the money is fully guaranteed, the money is greater, but so is, there's only five guys in the court, everybody can see your face, you know, everybody, you're basically wearing a tank top, so you shut off your guns, your arms, like, it's just a cooler looking sport. And oh yeah, by the way, you don't get hit in the head, so you don't run the risk of the post-career issues that football players run into. But a funny thing happened on the way to NFL players becoming NBA players. They're just not. They're just not. Oh, Antonio Brown, look what he did. He keeps making less and less and less money. And this is his last stop. Right? Like, he went from he had a non-guaranteed deal with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and yes, he got $30 million in guaranteed from the Oakland Raiders, but he had to go to one of the worst teams in the NFL to get that money, and now going to one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFL, he's only got $9 million guaranteed coming to him. That's working the wrong way. That's not the basketball model, right? The basketball model is 4 or 5 years guaranteed max money. That's not what happens here. Oh, well, Minka Fitzpatrick, yeah, he forced his way out of Miami onto, like, okay, Pittsburgh, I think, great culture. Pittsburgh's also a team that traditionally doesn't pay top dollar. And though he's not on the worst team in the NFL, he's not on the best. Dealing with one with a second-year quarterback who's a backup quarterback, like, I think it's a marginally better, and he doesn't get a raise. He's stuck at his contract. Minka Fitzpatrick, the Miami traded him, and they paid a good bit of the freight because the way rookie deals work, you pay a bunch up front, and then you have the fifth-year option. The rest is $1 million and change. Like, even Le'Veon Bell, who I thought, of all the things we saw last night that were disappointing from the Jets, Le'Veon Bell was not one of them. Well, Le'Veon Bell looked great, played hard. Played really hard. He ran his ass off last night. Le'Veon Bell looked good. But he had to hold out and lose $14 million. And then his contract was below market, or reset the running back market at $13 million a year. And the GM that signed him, he's not there anymore. That doesn't really, he has nobody that has his back once his skill set starts to fade. And oh yeah, by the way, again, like Antonio Brown when he went to the Raiders, you force your way out. You might force your way onto a bad team. The NBA model is, well, gang up with some of the best dudes in the league and have a great team. That's not what NFL players do, not have that amount of power. I'll say this about Jalen Ramsey. If you think he's some super smart guy that's wisely put himself in position to be moved, keep in mind, this is the guy that showed up to training camp having paid for a Brinks truck and some hype man with a megaphone to talk about him getting paid when he should. Like, if I was in that locker room, I'm in that front office, like, this dude's a clown. Talented? No question. But what kind of idiot wastes money on a Brinks truck and a hype man? Like, if he paid $1, that's $1 too much. And he didn't pay $1. You got to pay for a driver. You got to pay for the truck. You got to pay for, they have the fake money bags. The hype man might be his buddy, but you got to buy him a megaphone. Then there's like four people watching. Whatever you paid. You paid $100, and I don't think it's $100. You paid $1,000. Think about what you could, $1,000. If I had $1,000 cash, say it's like $1,000 cash. That's the dumbest waste of money I've ever heard. So you may think you're an NBA player. You may think that you actually hold all the cards. The CBA will tell you otherwise. And getting traded to Oakland or getting traded or signing as a free agent with the Jets or losing gobs of money and being on a bad team, that doesn't feel like an NBA baller move. And by the way, the Bills are 2-0. Antonio Brown didn't want to go to the Bills because, one, they weren't going to guarantee more of his money, and two, he thought they were going to stink. I mean, imagine how good they would be, or maybe they're better because they don't have Antonio Brown and that nonsense. Coming up next, did the Steelers do the right thing by trading Minka Fitzpatrick? We'll discuss in the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Every day at this time, the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio, we try and get you updated on the stories of the day, what people are thinking about, and we like to play for you a previous show on Fox Sports Radio or Fox Sports One. We call it...
And now...
What does the Fox say? This was Dan Patrick earlier today discussing the Steelers trading for Minka Fitzpatrick.
This says a whole lot about Mason Rudolph, the quarterback. I think the Steelers are looking at him and saying, we got a first-round talent here. We still plan on winning this year. Because if you didn't look at, this isn't Luke Falk or Gardner Minshew. This is somebody that they look at and say, we're making a trade that helps our secondary. Even if Ben's not here, and if he does come back, we're all in on Mason Rudolph. That was my opinion. I don't like the move because I look at this and go, you might need this for a quarterback. Well, what if you think you found your quarterback? Just because he's not a first-round pick, we tend to look at these quarterbacks and we're dismissive. It's like Dak Prescott, I don't think will ever get the credit, and the same with Russell Wilson, because of where they were drafted. Well, yeah, but he was a third-round draft pick. Okay, and? That's because everybody made mistakes. It took Brady a long time to get respect. He had to win Super Bowls before they went, oh, okay. But people still bring it up.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with anything. No. I love Dan. Everybody knows I love Dan. I love filling in for Dan. He's been awesome to me. I'm not feeling that one at all. Mason Rudolph, there's no bigger fan of Mason Rudolph the human being than me. Great dude. South Carolina kid, came in, lit up the world. Of course, you would think James Washington, who they're trying to get a ton out of, his former wide receiver in college, they'd have a great kind of kinetic connection. Rudolph's issues are, when he walks in the room, good looking, great hair, great body, throws a good ball. Like, his issues are, he's terrible in bad weather. He has small hands. And, you know, I don't think there's the either one processing of, you know, all the different coverages that you'll see from some quarterbacks. Additionally, it's not just the processing. He doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger's ability to just kind of hold on to the ball and make a play. There's two kinds of quarterbacks now in the league, like long-term quarterbacks, guys that can process it, see it all, or guys that can hold the ball, move the pocket, withstand a little bit of punishment, and deliver the football. I don't know if he's either one of those guys. Do I think that trading for Minka Fitzpatrick tells you the Steelers think they're not as far off as people think they are? Sure. That's actually a legitimate good argument. Because what we think about with Ben Roethlisberger is we think Ben Roethlisberger, Hall of Famer, vintage Ben Roethlisberger, threw 5,000 yards last year. But there were times when Ben Roethlisberger was not that good last year. He threw a lot of yards, but he wasn't that good. And so, is Mason Rudolph anywhere near vintage Ben Roethlisberger? No. But Ben Roethlisberger in his mid to late 30s, can Mason Rudolph be somewhere close? Yeah. And I think that's more what they're betting on. I don't think it has anything to do with where somebody was drafted.
What does the Fox say?
I'm not sure. You know, the Dak and Russell Wilson don't get enough credit. Look, we can argue about Dak back and forth. He's been incredible these first two games. Incredible. Let's see as the competition stiffens. just the offensive line, the running game, the wide receivers. Let's see as the competition stiffens. As for Russell Wilson, like, dude, Russell Wilson's won a Super Bowl. Russell Wilson got, at the time, the biggest contract in the history of the sport. And Russell Wilson's playing better now than maybe he ever has. I don't see that. Have you guys seen the new sandwich which KFC is going to test? The chicken and donuts for a limited time in Norfolk, Richmond, Virginia, and in Pittsburgh. This is real. Okay? Extra crispy piece of chicken in between two glazed donuts. Buyer, you want to know what's your question? I have a question on this one. You want to know mine is?
What's yours?
How do we get one of these sent to us?
Man, that is a little too rich for me.
Have you guys ever heard my double down story?
No.
I tell this to salespeople all the time. I was at one of my other places, and the way it works in sales is they come in, they're like, hey, can you do an ad for KFC? And I said, sure. So at the time, I was like a spokesperson for P90X, and I was in crazy good shape. And like 2 months later, I get this read for a double down, which is had the highest caloric intake of anything made in the fast food menu. Right? It was two pieces of fried chicken with two pieces of bacon and two pieces of cheese. No bread. Like all protein and grease. I'll tell you the story in the top of the next hour. Plus, I'm going to compare quarterbacks to old food getting thrown out of your fridge. Next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. The Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Brought to you by Farmers at Farmers. We've seen almost everything, so you know how to cover almost anything. When it's game time, have an experienced player help you stay in the game. Put their experience into play at farmers.com.
We are farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
I want to ask you about how you maintain your refrigerator in a second. First, let me complete this story. Okay, this is a completely true story. Okay, so I've worked for three different companies. They all handle sales and everything a little bit differently. Right. The way it worked at my first radio home, my first national radio home, my old longest tenured friend in the business is a woman named Louise Cornetta. And Louise was actually the producer of Todd Wright All Night. That's when I first kind of broke in on his show. And on Rome's show when I was a player in college, and I actually filled in for Todd 2001 after 9/11. She went from that to being our program director when I was at the place in Bristol. And we didn't have interaction with sales there. We would have, which we do here, we instead she'd say, hey, KFC wants you to cut an ad. Would you do it? Do you like KFC? And I said, well, who doesn't like KFC, right? Yummy. And at the time, they just come out with their grilled chicken, too. I was like, ooh, I like grilled chicken. Can you tell them I'd like to read something for grilled? Sure, no problem. So, like, 2 or 3 months later, I was doing this P90X ad campaign. I was in crazy good shape. And she's like, hey, you got to read this KFC thing. And it was a double down. The double down is two pieces of fried chicken, two pieces of bacon, two pieces of cheese, no bread. And it does not come with a free angioplasty. And so I was like, man, I can't do this. I'm doing this health food kick with P90X. And now I'm going to read this. This test doesn't feel right. She's like, who's going to know? Right? It's an ad. Who's going to know? So at the end of it, it said, or try it grilled the way I like it. Like, oh, that saves it. So I'll never forget back in this is mid-2000s, maybe late-2000s, I was sitting at like a desk just like this one, and instead of just the phone calls in front of me, we used to have the text line. And so during a break, they must have ran in succession, right? P90X followed by double down ad. Gottlieb, you'll do anything for money. Gottlieb, you don't, you know what I mean? And I was like, well, I mean, in reality, I did take the money for it. but I do like KFC, but I didn't know it was for the double down. Speaking of chicken, I stretch things out in terms of when I throw things away. Like tonight we're having Taco Tuesday. Don't have to give LeBron James a penny for saying Taco Tuesday. So we'll have tacos tonight, and no one on earth reuses taco meat as much as I do. I'll make breakfast burritos with it. I'll make tacos for days. I love tacos, like apparently LeBron loves tacos. So we'll make some tacos for Taco Tuesday. Ryan Music, how long would you allow taco meat to be used in your home?
A couple days, a few days maybe at the most.
Okay, so today's Tuesday. When would it be thrown out?
Probably by Friday-ish. Yeah, Friday would be a judgment call day.
What about you there, Ramos?
You're saying we cooked the taco meat, we
on
ate
Tuesday.
It tonight, we've yeah. done, and then we have some leftover. How long will that last us for? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah.
I would say, I'm with Ryan, I would say Thursday to Friday, somewhere, not to the weekend, definitely not to the weekend.
Not to the weekend?
Nope.
Okay. Now, are you a quick thrower-outer?
No, I love leftovers. I'm a big leftover person, but I also know that there's, I always ask Suzanne, how many days can we go with that? And she usually gives me about 2 to 3 days after we eat it to kind of toss it out.
I am not a big leftover guy. But I do it because I also don't like wasting stuff. Now, I don't mind leftover taco meat because I just feel like whatever, it's fine. I feel like this is what happened with Eli Manning. They saw the date on the bottle of milk, right? And they're like, I don't know. It smells fine. They open it up. What do you think? It's okay. And so this was going to be done 2 years ago. Right? And then last year they're like, rebuilding year. We can't say that we were wrong by not drafting Sam Darnold. Let's just roll with Eli Manning. Now, after 2 weeks in the season, when they had this whole plan of redshirting Daniel Jones, now they're going to change course? I don't know. I feel like they thought about risking it. Maybe it's not traditional milk. Maybe it's more almond milk, right? Because when almond milk goes bad, it smells fine, but you might get a little bit of clumping in it. You know, or soy milk. You get that lump in it. And then you shake it up and the lumps go out. And then now, 2 years later, you dump it out and there's just lumps all up in your cereal. They knew that everybody seemed to know that he was done. But the timing of, okay, you thought he was done, but you told everybody he wasn't. And now in week 3, you're going to change course. Paul Schwartz joins us. Giants insiders, Doug Gottlieb show here on Fox Sports Radio. For the Paul writes for the New York Post. Paul, why now?
Doug, I feel I need to insert some kind of lactose intolerance line here with all the milk and almond milk references, but I don't know where to put it together, so I'm just going to leave it out there, okay, that maybe there's a lactose intolerance joke in there somewhere, and you can figure it out, okay?
Fair enough.
As far as the timing, I agree. I think the timing kind of stinks a little bit. The narrative that they said was, we have Daniel Jones, we love the kid, we have Eli Manning, we think he can still play, and if we win and if Eli plays well, Eli plays and Daniel Jones will sit, and we're okay with that. Then after 2 games, it's all thrown out. We panic and we say, okay, forget it. Eli's gone. We love you, but you can't play anymore. Now it's time for Daniel Jones. If it was going to be a 2-week leash, why not get rid of Eli after they drafted Daniel Jones, move on with him, move on with all his money, you know, cut the cord then, have all the tough times then, and now you move forward with Daniel Jones, you sign some backup, Daniel Jones probably starts, and you're 2 games into his regime. So I think they kind of wanted it both ways. And you know what else, Doug? That game Sunday against the Bills, there was nobody in the building by the end except for 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 Bills fans. It was ugly. It was quiet. It was embarrassing again, and ownership just couldn't deal with that. And when Pat Shurmur says, I think I'm going to make the move, they said, fine, we got to change this. So here we go.
Okay, so do they try and trade him?
You know, I don't think so. First of all, he has a no-trade contract, so he can go or not go anywhere he wants. I think Eli does not want to go anywhere at this point. I also think Eli and Peyton and Archie are a three-headed monster that really know the league and know the landscape very well. And if they see a golden opportunity somewhere, they would look at it, but I don't think they think there is one there. So I think Eli is the backup for the last 14 games, and I don't think he wants to play anywhere else or wants to be in a different uniform, and he can control where he goes. So I think Eli ends at the Giants. He just ends it from the bench.
You don't think he takes a shot maybe with the Jags and his old pal Tom Coughlin?
Well, first of all, he doesn't take the shot. They have to take a shot on him.
Sure.
You know what I mean? And, you know, they know Nick Foles is coming back. I don't think that's a perfect situation. You say New Orleans. He's from New Orleans, for goodness sakes. You know, sure. It's a perfect place for him to go back. I think the Saints think they can win with Teddy Bridgewater until Breeze comes back. You know, I think the Steelers are content to go with their young guy for the rest of the year. So, you know, it looks like there are places because quarterbacks are going down. But, you know, the Mannings will leave no stone unturned. You know, no one knows more about the league than they do or has more connections. And I just think it's not going to fit. And don't forget, Eli Manning is 38. He's got a wife and four kids in New Jersey. And he's not going to just go anywhere. So I think that means he probably goes nowhere.
Could go to the Jets. Wouldn't have to change stadiums, right? He just go across the. I mean, again, don't think it makes necessarily sense, but he could start if he wanted to play.
Well, yeah, if he would go to the Jets, it would be very interesting and very funky. And they do play the Giants this year, and that would be the mother of all pregame festivities for all of us in New York. It would be a lot of fun, but I think we'll just have to probably leave that as a dream right now.
And we know this, okay? And we know this. So Daniel Jones is the greatest preseason quarterback in the history of preseason quarterbacks. What is the feeling like in New York? I mean, it's kind of an amazing 180, right? From being booed at a Yankee game to all of a sudden being lusted over after a couple of preseason games. What's the general expectations you feel like from the fan base?
You got it right. It was a 180. It was, how the heck could we draft this guy at number 6? This was awful. This is terrible. Maybe at 17, maybe. We didn't even love him there, but no way at 6. Then he plays in the preseason. He completes 85% of his passes. The Giants are losing. Eli doesn't look good. And it's, what took you so long? I think we can expect him to use his legs. Pat Shurmur went gaga this weekend seeing Josh Allen run for 6 yards and a touchdown on a design quarterback run. And he was very wistful yesterday talking about how, you know, man, it's smart when you can do that with a quarterback. He can't do that with Eli. He can do that with Daniel Jones. And look, they're not winning. They haven't won last year. They didn't win the year before. So it's not like the bar is set that Daniel Jones has to come here and win, because they weren't doing that with Eli Manning. So they hope to see progress. He'll take his lumps a little bit. But I think they think that Daniel Jones can navigate around the inexperience and the protection and all that kind of stuff. And they think they can do some things with his arm and with his legs. And we'll see. You know, it's not a bad landing spot at Tampa and then home to the Redskins. You know, that's not exactly mission impossible out there either.
Yeah. Do you think that there's nearly the hubbub there was 2 years ago when Eli was benched?
No. First of all, it was Geno Smith, who was, you know, the name that could not be uttered. You know, he was despised in New York. It was very fascinating. How many guys in New York are despised by Jets and Giants fans? You know, he had the double header right there of fan bases despising him. So that was an issue in and of itself. I think people will appreciate Eli, and they will think back on those two Super Bowls, and they will be excited on Sunday to see Daniel Jones play, and then probably horrified after Daniel Jones comes off the field and the Giants defense actually has to come on the field and play. So it'll be a short-lived euphoria.
Okay, you brought up their defense, and it's a great point. What can they do to fix that on the fly?
You know what they can do to fix it, Doug? They can have their first-round draft picks, Dexter Lawrence and DeAndre Baker, wake up and play like high profile picks. Now, nobody is saying that rookies in their first two games have to be great, and we're not going to judge them, but they've been bad. I mean, Dexter Lawrence has had very no impact, and DeAndre Baker, who was the Giants traded up into the first round to get at number 30, has been a terrible impact. He's been a real detriment the first two games. So that's one thing. And James Betcher, the defensive coordinator, who had a good deal of success in Arizona with a lot of good players, with four or five really excellent players. He does not have those players with the Giants. So James Betcher has to look in the mirror and say, I need to simplify my defense. I can't call it the way I wanted to call it and did call it in Arizona. So he has to kind of wake up and coordinate better, and the rookies have to wake up and play better because, let's face it, the legacy for Dave Gettleman is certainly Daniel Jones, but it's also these two other first-round picks, and it's Jabril Peppers, who was part of the Odell Beckham trade. So, you know, these young defensive players, if they can't play, that's on Dave Gettleman, you know, just as much as Daniel Jones's.
No question about it. Paul Schwartz, great stuff, Paul. I look forward to your column tomorrow in the New York Post. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Doug. Take care.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. The former first-round pick of the Cleveland Browns, started as a rookie, and of course joins us throughout the NFL season. Brandon Wheaton joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Okay, wait. Last time I talked to you, you said you were done, and then all of a sudden you're working out for teams. All right, so now more quarterbacks are going down. Do you have other workouts planned?
No, man. It's been pretty quiet. You know, I went and worked out for the Colts, and honestly, man, I threw it as good as I can possibly throw it. Felt good, arm felt good. But no, man, it's been pretty quiet. I thought maybe with all these injuries that the phone might be ringing, but right now, man, it's been pretty quiet.
But if it rings, you will pick it up, right? I mean, like, you still love ball and still would go out and sling it if, you know, say the New York Jets called you tomorrow.
I mean, I'm going to listen. I mean, you know, I think it has to be the right situation. I'm not going to jump into something and go get my brains beat in and lose a bunch of games. I've, you know, been there, done that. I want to go to a winning environment. But, yeah, I mean, it, you know, never say never, but, you know, right now I'm pretty content with, all the free time I've got.
Yeah, Brandon Wheaton joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. All right, let's start with pro football, because there's a big college game, and I want you to help break down Oklahoma State, Texas upcoming this weekend. But let's start with Daniel Jones. He's being named the starter for the New York Giants. What's that first start like as a rookie?
It's tough. You know, you play in the preseason, and I mean, it's obviously faster than college. But you know, every veteran will tell you that, you know, the preseason's one speed, the regular season's one speed, and then once you get to the playoffs, it's just like someone pushes fast forward. I mean, it's just there's three different speeds there. So he's going to have to adjust. You know, I mean, he's going to have better players around him probably. You know, now that he's, you know, the starter. But I mean, obviously, you know, you play in New York, you back up Eli Manning, the expectations are obviously extremely high. So he's got to tune out all the noise. Don't listen to anything outside. Turn off your phone. Put your head down and go to work. I think he's a really talented quarterback. I really do. He was one of my favorite quarterbacks coming out of this last draft class. I think he's, obviously really well coached in college. Got really good mechanics. Throws the ball well. You know, I think he's got a bright future. It's just, it's tough, man. You come in here as a rookie, and there's so much expectation. You hate to get a young quarterback's, you know, confidence rattled and make him gun shy. I hope that doesn't happen to him, because I think he really does got a really bright future.
Yeah, we've seen guys. You know, Jared Goff had a bad first year, and he bounced back. Mitch Trubisky had a tough first year, and he bounced back. What is the secret? I mean, obviously you struggled to kind of bounce back some. What do you think the secret is to maintain that level of self confidence when it's just your first year?
I think it's the situation you're in. You know, Jared Goff has got, in my opinion, one of the brightest minds in all of football with Sean McVay as play caller and head coach. I mean, the guy's brilliant. So that obviously helped him when he came in, putting him in position to succeed, doing the things that he's good at. And same with Trubisky. You know, I think both, you know, they're in both really good situations to bounce back from, because, you know, that rookie year is tough, man. I mean, it's a long year because you go straight from college football through all the stuff that you know about, and here's a draft, and next thing you know, you're playing games. It's a challenge. So, you know, I had North Turner my second year, and I was extremely excited. I thought that was a perfect fit for me, and, you know, we had some issues, you know, here and there, and, you know, we just weren't able to get the job done kind of like we thought we would. So, you know, it's kind of about the situation you're in. You know, you got to have guys around you that, you know, kind of step their game up to help you out and you know, play team football. You know, you got to play good defense and at the end of the day, and on offense, you got to find a way to get your team in the end zone and win games. That's all really quarterback is judged on anyway. The rest of the stuff you can throw out the window. It's all about wins and getting your team in the end zone.
Well, Brandon Whedon joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Monday Night Football, I was underwhelmed by Baker Mayfield. Am I wrong to be a little bit underwhelmed?
No, I think he's had kind of a rough start. And, you know, I think there may be quite a few things that attribute to it. There's a lot of expectations. You got two of the top 10 receivers in the league on the same field with Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham. And, you know, there's probably some pressure there to get those guys the ball and get it to them often. You know, I don't know if he's really pressing there, but, you know, he's gotten hit more than I really anticipated. I thought they kind of shored that offensive line up to protect him and keep him upright, but he's taking a lot of shots and he's on the ground a lot, which is not easy for any quarterback. I don't care who you are, but you know, the accuracy, I thought he was extreme. He is an accurate thrower. I just don't think he's throwing the ball as accurately as he can and probably will as the year goes on. Even up to his standards. But I do think he's a really good player. I think moving forward, he'll be just fine.
Why do you think he struggled with accuracy? Is there a fundamental flaw in what he's doing and how he's doing it?
You know, the only thing I see sometimes is, and he's got a good arm, you know, but I think sometimes he kind of fundamentally he's almost not throwing at the back foot like he's scared. He's just not really stepping into throws. And he's kind of, his mechanics are just a little out of whack, if you ask me. You know, he's kind of throwing, leaning backwards, you know, and sometimes that can cause your arm to, you know, get in a different arm slot that, you know, is not ideal for making accurate throws. I've noticed that just a little bit there. But, you know, the ball's coming out, you know, at times quicker than he probably wants to just because of the pressure he's getting. You know, and stuff like that. He's just missed on some throws that are very uncharacteristic for him. You know, he's normally, you know, pretty automatic on those, you know, deep in routes and stuff like that. But he's missed on some throws that are, you know, that have a chance to be explosive plays.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of former first round draft pick NFL quarterback Brandon Whedon joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. The MO on Dak and Zach Robinson, another former Oklahoma State quarterback, now with the Rams. I remember getting ready for the draft. He was like, look, Dak's thing is, as he reloads, as he goes through his progressions, that's when his accuracy seems to go. He's been spectacular early in the season. How much of it is because of how good he is and how much he's improved? How much of it is because he has all day to throw behind a great offensive line? They're playing against bad teams.
I think it's a combination of all that. You know, I was a big fan of the Kellen Moore hire. I think Kellen's an extremely smart guy. He's innovative. You can tell they're doing a lot more motion. They're not just lining up in formations and running plays. You know, they're kind of window dressing is what you like to call it. Dressing these formations to give you a chance. And he's been a big help to Dak, in my opinion. But, you know, I've been extremely, extremely impressed with how well he's throwing the football. You know, he's got a lot of weapons. He's got a really, really good team around him. But these first few games, I mean, he's kind of exceeded my expectations. He's throwing the ball well. And they're putting him in position to make easy throws. I mean, he's not getting hit a whole lot. That offensive line, as we all know, is really good. But they're keeping him off the ground, and he's making throws he's comfortable making, and they're hitting on a lot of them. He's playing at a big-time level.
Yeah, sure seems to be. Okay, let's get to the college game. By the way, Brandon does showdown breakdown Fridays before Oklahoma State football games. They take on Texas, which now all of a sudden, you know, four guys like you got there. Oklahoma State never won in Austin. Now it's like you never lose in Austin. Let's start with Texas, because I do think that they feel like they got their quarterback that ultimately is going to take them back to the top of the Big 12. So far in this season, what have you seen from Texas's offense?
You know, again, it's like I was just talking with somebody else. It starts and ends with Sam Ehlinger. I mean, he is extremely improved throwing the football. I mean, he's throwing the ball better now than he has the last couple of years. I mean, his completion percentage is almost, I think it's 73%, and he's taking care of the football. He's thrown 11 touchdowns and no picks. So he's doing a bunch of things for him, obviously in the passing game, but I think even more so in the running game. You know, they're beat up at running back. Their running backs, I don't know who their running back coach is coaching, because there's only like one guy in the room. Everybody else is hurt. So he's taking a lot of the load in the run game with, you know, the quarterback power stuff. He's doing some zone read stuff. You know, Coach Herman, I think, is a really, really good football coach, great offensive mind. And, you know, he's making it pretty simple for Sam, but I think Sam's playing at a high level. He's playing way better, in my opinion, than the last few years. And so it's giving them a chance to win. They got two humongous receivers on the outside. Guys are 6'5", 6'6", receivers. They just kind of throw it up to them, and, you know, it's basically a jump ball here and there. But they got some playmakers. So overall, I'm relatively impressed. I think they got a lot of things they got to clean up, but they got some pretty good players that can hurt you at times.
All right, Oklahoma State has two just spectacular skill position players, Tylan Wallace at wide receiver and Chuba Hubbard at running back. Just, you know, blows your doors off with his speed. But Spencer Sanders, a kid who redshirted last year, 7 touchdowns, only 1 interception. Obviously, they haven't played the highest level of competition, but they do have 2 road wins, right? Beat Oregon State on the road, beat Tulsa on the road. Spencer Sanders, how good is he at quarterback?
You know, he's got all the tools to be pretty successful. You know, he's extremely athletic. He can run the football. But, you know, the one thing, I think a lot of props need to go to Coach Gleason, the offense coordinator. I mean, he's keeping it, I mean, mega, uber simple for Spencer Sanders. He's not asking him to do too much. And I think that's going to have to change, you know, especially starting this week against a team like Texas. You know, you got a good defense that is going to put pressure on him. So he's going to have the ass to do a lot more. But I think he's a talented kid. I think he's got a big arm, throws the ball pretty well, runs around and makes plays with his feet. Obviously, he's got, in my opinion, one of the top 4 or 5 receivers in the country with Tylan Wallace, and then he can turn a hand to Chuba Hubbard, which is always a quarterback's best friend. So he's done a lot of good things. I think they got to continue to run the football, take as much heat off of him as you can, and not ask him to win every single game and make every single play, which they're not doing. So they've got a nice little trio of players there, but as you know, it's just going to get tougher. You know, the first 3 games, you know, let's just be honest, they're not world beaters for defenses, so they're going to have to get better, and it starts Saturday night.
Great stuff, Brandon. Thanks so much for joining us. We hope to catch up very soon, unless, of course, you decide you want to get back in the National Football League. There's some teams that may be calling as we speak. Thanks so much for joining us, B.
All right, Doug. See you, buddy.
All right, Brandon Wheaton joining us in the Doug Gottlieb Show. You know, it's interesting. There's a lot of discussion about NFL players becoming like NBA players. But what's not being discussed is how the NFL is becoming like the NBA, with teams dumping games, tanking, if you will, and loading up on draft picks. Loading up on draft picks. I mean, that's really what happens here, right? Which is, for so long, the NFL has been so competitive. The Jets 2 years ago, we thought they tried to tank. They won 6 games. Now, then they had to trade up in order to get, and they end up getting Sam Darnold and lucked into it. But it's hard to get NFL players to buy into being bad. It just is. Guys are competitive. They know that the tape is out there. And it's not a sport where you can't play, you don't play hard. And, like, look, most NFL games are decided by a touchdown or less. That's, you dog it, you get hurt, or you dog it, and, you know, in the business where most guys are in a year-to-year contract, you're going to play your butt off. Unless, of course, you're the Dolphins, when you don't have the talent. And you look at what they've done in trading away Laremy Tunsil and trading away Minka Fitzpatrick. Like, I actually think Tunsil, I mean, they got a Pirates ransom, 2 first-round picks for Tunsil. He has talent, but he's not Khalil Mack. He's not that level of player. And Minka Fitzpatrick, 1 first-round pick. Like, he hasn't had a good career so far, very early into it. And you don't have to pay a ton of money once you get him, unlike when you're trading for a Khalil Mack, you got to pay him $90 million. So there's a lot to it. But we're making this mistake of thinking NFL players are like NBA players. They're not. They don't get to pick their spot. They get traded. Their contract many times doesn't change. You know, they're not able to gather up free agents like the NBA. Just the contracts are not the same. NBA, NFL teams, they are at the bottom looking more and more like NBA teams. That's what the Giants are doing. They're not tanking. They're playing young guys. Daniel Jones. The Dolphins are just straight up tanking, which is what the Raiders did last year. The Raiders did last year. And the Raiders are 1-1, and I'm sure they'll get to a point this season where if they don't think they can win, they'll drop some games again late. They got to figure out the Derek Carr thing. You know, we have pretty good players. We got some younger players, but we still stink. But the way in which you're able to compete is as a depth of quality players under the rookie salary control. And oh yeah, by the way, if you're the Raiders, it's not crazy to think that you let Derek Carr walk and that you get a young quarterback who might not be as experienced and, hell, might not even be as good as Derek Carr next year, but allows you the freedom to go out and sign a bunch of other players. NFL QBs are the walking wounded right now. We'll explain next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at noon Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we like to get you updated on the stories of the day, the headlines of the night. We do so by getting the press.
The press.
Stand by, what do you got?
Doug, Saints quarterback Drew Brees will have surgery on his thumb Wednesday in Los Angeles. This, according to ESPN, he's going to miss approximately 6 weeks of action. Remember yesterday, Sean Payton says they were going for the second opinion. Second opinion likely said, yeah, he's going to need surgery, so he's going to have it tomorrow in L.A.
Six.
Now, remember, Drew Brees has, I think he lives actually in San Diego, so in addition to, you know, better surgeons being in Los Angeles, I think that's really the impetus behind why and where, et cetera, et cetera. But I think it's 6 weeks from the time of the surgery. Remember, it's on Wednesday. That makes it more like 7 weeks. I don't know. I just wouldn't count it on him. You know, you have no idea how he rehabs and how he comes back. So we need to take a breath on knowing exactly when he's going to be okay.
Doug, I actually had thumb surgery it's a long time ago now, probably about 25 years ago, but it looked as they were doing the test to Drew Brees. I don't want to compare what I did,
but you're going to.
But I'm right. Just saying that I just remember for me, it was about 6 weeks to get everything, you know, and that's just to get everything healed and off. And granted, it was 25 years ago, but yeah. So I know a little something about that.
Music, yeah, any surgical procedures you'd like to share your experiences of?
Well,
go ahead.
This one time, I actually don't know if I've ever had a full surgery medical procedure, so I cannot share anything with you.
You know, Greg Tuohy's, Colin Cowherd's radio producer over at Fox Sports 1, when anybody has an Achilles injury, Greg always...
I had an Achilles.
Yes. Every so single
true.
Time.
It's very true.
So I feel a little guilty talking about my thumb surgery, but...
Don't feel guilty. It's okay. You're sharing. Well, they were just sharing is caring.
They were doing the tests on the sidelines.
Like, ooh, I know that test.
Yeah.
I know that test. I know that test.
The only issue is my thumb was pointing another way when I hurt mine.
You were doing the this guy, only was pointing out?
Yeah. Jets quarterback Trevor Siemian's season is over. His leg bent in a weird way last night.
Ooh,
torn ligaments in his ankle and is done for the season. Jets confirming that Luke Falk will start week 3 against the Patriots.
How many times did you watch that one?
I turned away. Yeah, I didn't want to see.
I loved every second.
Yeah, Doug, how many times did you watch it? Over, under a dozen.
It was over.
Wow.
10.
It was over. Could not get enough.
Couldn't be worse than the Jets' actual performance, though, I will say. That was something we all like to turn away from.
Yep.
This apparently is going to be a thing. Panthers quarterback Cam Newton, day-to-day with a foot injury after aggravating his foot injury that he suffered in the preseason. Kyle Allen would start for the Panthers in Week 3 in Arizona if Newton can't go, according to Panthers head coach Ron Rivera.
Oh, no.
Who's their backup?
Kyle Allen.
Ah, yeah, Kyle.
And then Will Greer they drafted in the draft this past year.
So Kyle Allen, who started A&M and then and then transferred to TCU, right?
Yep.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. It's Kyle Allen.
Kyle
Allen, who beat out Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, at A&M.
Yep.
That's
and then transferred.
Odell Beckham Jr. reportedly wore a fake watch during warmups yesterday. Did you see this?
Yes.
Yeah, pointed out a Richard Mille watch that is similar, valued at $2.2 million. This apparently was a fake, which I think is 10 times worse for his image to have a fake one. I would rather just have him not wear one than try to pull it off and wear a fake one. But apparently he was wearing a fake last night.
Is it a fakie?
There was a fake.
So weird. It was like, what's the point?
Yeah.
I know he's just trying to troll people, like, for the watch thing, whatever. But, like, wait, just go play football. You're so good at football.
The watch that he was supposed to, or the real watch that he was trying to fool people with, only 10 of them were made, and they're valued at over $2 million. So, I mean, it'd be stupid to wear that anyway, but...
Think?
Well, yeah. According to a report from Sports Illustrated, the NFL interviewed Antonio Brown's accuser for over 10 hours on Monday. Brittany Taylor's the one who filed a civil suit against Brown, claiming he raped and sexually assaulted her in 2018. Now, as for Brown meeting with the NFL, there are reports that he will end up doing so at some point. But again, no timetable for him to be put on the commissioner's exempt list, if that's even going to happen at all. He's in line to face the Jets in week three.
Yeah, the 10 hours. That's a lot. That's a long time. That's a long, long, long. That's a very thorough interview. But again, still, I think the question becomes, why weren't the police called?
Why?
Taylor Swift will open the brand new SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Happening in the summer of 2020 is the new home to the Rams and Chargers.
La
will
La
hold
Land.
The concerts on July 25th and July 26th.
La La Land.
Hmm. Do you tell her, what's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
Oh, geez. I don't know if I really have one. I know some of them. There's
Sing it.
Yeah. my niece when she was young, like the like you're a, you know, cheerleader, you know, you're in high heels, I'm in sneakers or whatever. That one.
Yeah, you didn't sing it.
That's what it was.
My girls when they were like 7 or 8 were super into her, not into her at all, but she's got some, you know.
Yeah.
Swift Trucking, that's her dad, you know, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's not a bad, Swift trucks are everywhere.
Yes.
Speaking of
story goes, he bought up all of her first records to kind of make her kind of into a thing.
Oh, wow.
Story.
Interesting. Speaking of openings, the 2019-2020 NHL preseason schedule opens up tonight across the league. John Ramos has a preview. John?
1 minute. 1 minute.
Just kidding. I totally put him on the spot.
Hold on. Ramos, who won the Stanley Cup last year?
The Penguins?
Music, do you have any idea?
I'm going to go with the Boston Bruins.
Oh, you're so close.
The Boston Bruins were in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Yeah. Oh, I know it. I know it.
Who?
St. Louis Blues.
There you go.
Oh, what? I don't get a chance to guess?
Hey, now they're
impressed. I got that 9 picks wrong. You know, at least I could redeem myself.
We knew you knew it. We've established that baseball, though competitive and compelling, not crazy interesting, right? That most of the members of this crew don't know who won the Stanley Cup, and we won't be fired because of it. Not yet, at least. And that I think Tom Brady is a piece of cheese. That, you know, he's had some mold, you cut it off. But the rest of these guys, they are dairy products that are going bad. They're going bad. And maybe the story of Eli Manning is, when you take that first whiff of milk and it doesn't smell good, dump it out. Go get some new milk, which is what they did with Daniel Jones. Daniel Jeremiah tomorrow on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.